Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good evening, everybody. It's Ben Vanel here, and I'm jumping in at the start of this episode to tell you about a new podcast that Adam Knox and myself are hosting. It's called Arya Talking to Me, and it's a Game of Thrones recap podcast. We're going back from the very start, recapping and reviewing every episode as if it's the first time we've seen it, and then we're doing a spoiler section at the end where we talk about the episodes in the context of the entire seven seasons. And we're basically going to do it every week until the eighth season airs, and we're going to be recapping and reviewing that. So if you think you'd enjoy Adam Knox and myself riffing about Game of Thrones, jump on over to Arya Talking to Me. It's on Facebook, on Twitter, and it's on iTunes and Stitcher and all of those platforms. And if you already listen, we'd really love it if you would tell your friends about it. Please share it if you like it. Please review it on iTunes. Please give us a little a leg up. And we'd really, really appreciate it. Anyway, on with the video game show.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and also we have...
Ben Vanel. It's great to be here, Tommy, and our third amigo.
It's me, or Adam Knox, the third amiibo.
Oh. Nice.
Let's do a remake of that movie using amiibos, the three amiibos.
All right. Okay.
I haven't seen the movie to do any sort of examples of what that would look like, but I know it exists. Chevy Chase is in it during his brief flash of relevance.
Wow. You've started with a slam on Chevy.
Yeah, man. I like Donald Glover now.
I loved the three amigos as a kid. Watched it as an adult. Not a lot of jokes land.
It's Steve Martin, Martin Short, and
Chevy
Chase.
Three of my favorite comedic actors of all time.
Hey. Three amigos, some would say.
Fantastic.
if you tap them while you play Breath of the Wild, they unlock what, a sombrero?
A singing bush, an invisible swordsman.
Okay.
And Martin Short does a dance.
Again, I've not seen it, so I can't comment.
Martin Short is funny. That interviewer character he does.
Jiminy Glick. Yeah.
I could only think of the name of that guy from Johnny Galecki.
From the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Jiminy Glick is fucking funny.
Martin Short is great in Three Amigos. He's quite young. Like, it's his first real thing that he's done, I think,
right,
apart from live stuff with Steve Martin.
And, Steve Martin's book, he talks about writing The Jerk and how they were like, we've got to have a joke on every page.
Yeah.
And you read that now and you're like, wow, what a what a leisurely pace.
Yeah.
The great man writing a comedy film and you're fucking pushing yourself to have one joke per page.
But if they're all like jokes that need a minute's lead up to each of them, maybe. I've never seen The Jerk either.
Oh, I've only seen it once. Not as often as Three Amigos. I think The Jerk holds up better. But then The Three Amigos is Tropic Thunder. Like, that's what it is. It's three guys who are actors who act as these, you know, cowboy heroes.
Yeah.
And then they get sent down to Mexico to, like, actually deal with a bandit. Like, that's what the story is. It's Tropic Thunder.
Right. Yeah.
Tropic Thunder, I think, is a fantastic movie, but maybe in 30 years that also won't hold up. I don't know.
I think in 10 years since its release it doesn't hold up that much anymore.
I disagree.
Well, The Big Short is fantastic.
Yeah, I love Tropic Thunder. Tropic Thunder is one of my favorite movies.
They're doing another one, right?
Are they?
I think I saw that they were doing another one.
Maybe, I hope so.
Another movie, I'm saying. Not Tropic Thunder, just...
Oh, another movie is being made?
Yeah, there's another film in production right now.
Hashtag cancel Hollywood.
So, yes, it is the beginning of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Thank you to all the filth who we've seen at our shows so far. Let's do a quick plug for anyone who hasn't been along yet. My show, Leisure Suit Tommy, is on for another few shows if you want to get along to that. You guys are in Chimp Cop.
Yeah, we're going all the way to the end of the festival, 8:30 p.m. Trades Hall. It is a really fun show. Come along and see it.
And my show's at 6:30 p.m. also at Trades Hall. It goes until the 22nd. And I am also having fun with this show. And I think if you come along, then you will probably have fun.
In many ways, you could say it's good and funny. Attendance greatly appreciated.
I would say something similar to that, yes.
Perhaps shorter.
But yeah, it's been very fun. But it has meant that for the last little bit, I haven't had as much time to play the actually good number of video games that have come out.
Yes,
yes. Horrific timing by a lot of publishers.
Yeah.
It's almost as if they don't even know that the Melbourne International Comedy Festival exists.
Or that we exist. Like, we don't mean anything in the greater scheme of things. But yeah, fuck, there's been a lot of good games. I mean, yeah. I recently talked about Yakuza... Zero is the one that I was playing and how I was loving it, and it's a big game with lots of stuff to do, and I've had to just put it down and switch to two new games.
Well, I'll quickly follow up. I've still been playing a little bit of Kirby and enjoying that a great deal, and I'm up to what I assume is the final boss, and it may be one of the most dramatic spikes in difficulty I've ever seen in the game, where... The whole rest of the game is an absolute cakewalk.
Right.
A very fun and charming one. Like, I don't even view that as a complaint. Like, sure. I have still enjoyed it. But then you get up to the final boss and it's basically impossible. Like,
wow.
It just all of a sudden is this, like, boss with, like, multiple waves where it's just shooting shit all over the screen.
Fuck.
It's brutal. It's bizarre. You can get up to the final boss with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like all the other bosses in the game, you can defeat without... You don't have to have any strategy. You can just roll around the screen, throw punches, not really know what's going on, and you'll win. And then all of a sudden now you have to get into this like insane Super Meat Boy level of like deep strategy.
Right.
Of, like really planning your moves and everything.
Fuck.
It's bizarre.
So Kirby... what is it called? Star Allies is a prequel to Cuphead.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's really bizarre just how dramatically it increases.
Fuck.
But yeah.
But still good.
Still good, yeah, still fun. Like, I think it's kind of presented as if it's the final boss, but on the save file screen, it tells me that I'm 36% of the way through.
But is that
so? There must be like a big something unlocks, like a new world unlocks at the end, or whatever.
Hidden shit you've missed or something. That's off.
Yeah, but surely that doesn't account for 60% worth of the game. Like anyway,
yeah.
If I ever manage to beat this goddamn freak of a boss, I'll find out.
Yeah, right.
And they weirdly enough, they did DLC like 2 weeks after, where you have like you can have on your team little characters from previous Kirby games.
Right.
So a bunch of them are now in it, which is cool and fun. Weird way to do it, to just stagger it 2 weeks after the game came out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh man, speaking of weird DLC, Monster Hunter World is something that I really want to get back into. Same thing where it's like I fucking want to play way more of that game.
Yep.
There was DLC for that came out recently of another monster called fucking something. I can't remember his name. But anyway, you know the...
What if Monster Hunter was set in Australia and all the monsters would be called things like this kind of a thing?
Nothing wrong with doing a bit about the Australian accent. Come to my show at 6:30 p.m. But the Horizon Zero Dawn DLC stuff that sort of came out with it was on the most fucked weird thing where, I think I might have talked about this before, you had to complete a quest that was quite high level to get the little cat and to get your armor to make you look like Aloy. And those quests are gone now.
Yeah, they were timed, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's very strange.
It's super weird. Apparently they'll come back, but there's been no confirmation of that. But people are like, yeah, they'll definitely come back.
Yeah. Like the thing with Monster Hunter World is that, and I guess correctly, they assume people are going to put in like 60 hours in the first week.
Then
400 out, like it's a game that people sink so much time.
I wish I'd have had that time recently to have done that.
Yeah,
because it's a fucking sick game.
Yeah,
it's a weird way of doing things, and it's funny because like you know we talk a lot on the show about Nintendo and the weird things that they do, and everyone goes classic Nintendo being weird. All developers are weird.
Yeah,
like every developer does fucking weird stuff with their games.
Dude, no good unique, like exclusive games for about 4 years for Microsoft. Classic Microsoft being weird. Like, no, people, I mean, people do bring that up because it's insane. That's the other one I wanted to have time to get to, is Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
I'm going to try out all the Game Pass stuff probably for next week, maybe the week after.
Yep.
Come back and talk about Sea of Thieves a month after it came out.
Sure. Which people, I think, is not a bad time to do it. It seems to
have... Well, and it had a bit of a choppy seas at launch.
Yes.
With people not being able to get on to the servers and everything.
Well, a couple of people have been playing it who've posted in our Patreon Facebook group, and their vibe just seems to be that it's a little bit boring.
It's fun for like 4 hours apparently, and then it's just, okay.
What I have been enjoying on Twitter is I follow Darren Gargette, who is one of the hosts of Kane and Rince.
Yes.
And he's an old school Rare fanboy to the point where he had a job, he worked for them for a bit. So he like loves all their games, and he has been absolutely chomping at the bit for Sea of Thieves to come out. And he, every day, he posts about 20 tweets about how great it is and how much he's loving it. And it kind of reeks of Stockholm Syndrome, where he's like on there like convincing himself that he's having this great time sailing around in these barren, empty seas, not seeing anyone. He's like, he'll be like, very calming day on the ocean today. Just actually great not seeing anyone. It's like, Darren, just be real with yourself.
And if even you can identify Stockholm Syndrome in somebody else.
Exactly.
But yeah, I've read a lot about it because I'm very interested in it. As you know, conceptually, in early days, I was like, this could be the greatest game of all time.
It's got BV written all over it.
Yeah, but it's apparently it's very repetitive. There's no option to have player versus player or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just like going around, you know, doing your thing, people will just come and fuck you up and steal your shit, and you'll be, you know, you'll be screwed.
That's not necessary, but like that's sort of like Demon's Souls and Dark Souls type thing where you didn't really have a choice with that either,
right?
Other than unplugging your fucking console,
sure.
Which I'm assuming this doesn't let you do because you probably need to be online to even play it.
Yeah, so yeah.
The water looks very nice, and I don't know. I'm interested to play it.
It's just such a weird choice. Rare's strength was always their stories and their writing and their characters and their
and
world
level design.
And
the amount of content in their games.
And
this is just such a crazy. But Rare doesn't exist anymore in the way that it did.
Sure, yeah.
Like Rare hasn't been around for 10 years.
Yeah,
basically. So we'll get to that at some time. That's actually one little bit of news that I saw in the last week or so, because there's not been heaps happening. It's been sort of some games coming out and not much news.
Yeah,
I guess there won't be heaps in the sort of, this seems crazy to say this early, but the ramp up to E3.
Totally.
But
which, by the way, big our friend of the show, Slippery Bill Trinan.
Yeah,
he
yes.
announced the other day that Nintendo were going to reveal some of their E3 plans in the next month.
Yeah, something like
I
that.
I think he
yeah.
said. Yeah. So yeah. I guess maybe they're going to give a list of what they're showing or something, but that's cool. That's interesting.
Sure. Yes.
And I don't think we've mentioned. No, we wouldn't have mentioned this. They have announced that they're gonna have a, what is it, like some kind of esports tournament thing for Splatoon and for the new Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So presumably that'll be a heap of that being shown off at E3.
That's interesting. I wonder if it, like, it's seeming more and more likely to me that it is a new Smash Brothers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm assuming that at this point. Yeah.
But the news I was going to say is that No Man's Sky is coming to the Xbox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with another update, I think, I saw.
Right.
So it'll be
great for a whole new kind of, you know, realm of players to be able to send death threats to the creator of that game. Now there's no barrier to being able to tell this guy to kill himself.
If you've owned an Xbox One for the last few years, I'm pretty sure you're used to very barren, empty release lineups at least. So,
am I playing No Man's Sky or am I scrolling through the eShop? a couple of big releases in the last couple of weeks. Do you want to start, Ben? Because I think you're the only one of us that's played this.
Yes.
Sex with a Human Being. No, Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom?
So this, is the sequel to Ni No
Kuni. What is a revenant? Can I just ask that very quickly? Because I hear the word revenant very often in video games and stuff as well. One of the Doom 2 enemies was a revenant.
Oh, wow.
What is a revenant?
Great film.
Yeah.
The Revenant.
Yeah.
But what's a revenant?
If that film is The Revenant, he's the revenant. So it must be Leonardo DiCaprio being left for dead in a shallow grave.
And then spiking the camera at the end, looking into your soul.
Is the Revenant, it must be somebody,
someone who enacts revenge.
Oh, revenge. I always took it as reverence.
Well,
like
baby.
Revenant. Hold on. Here we go.
That's my guess.
It's a visible ghost or animated corpse that is believed to have revived from death to haunt the living. So a vengeful zombie.
Right. Right.
Okay, so
that does not apply to this game at all. in any way.
A person who has returned, especially supposedly from the dead.
I guess it applies in that it's someone who got kicked out and is trying to come back.
But it would need to be the kingdom died and came back.
The entire kingdom, yeah.
It's kind of that. It is kind of that. I can see how that makes sense in a more abstract way.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's a sequel to the game, the previous
Ni No Kuni 1.
Yes.
Regular kingdom.
Well, that was called Wrath of the White Witch. So there has this weird theme of like very dark subtitles that don't seem to apply to the game at all. Right. The first one was like...
The critics have spoken.
The titles like, suck.
This is like comedy festival reviews where they focus on the fucking air conditioner in the room they're in. The title doesn't really apply to anything that happens in the game.
Speaking of comedy festival reviews, I just want to say this very quickly, that... names of titles and them coming up in reviews as well. I'm very scared of our show being called The Death of Chimp Cop, because any title where you can just write down the title and then the word couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Adam Knox's, like, I thought about calling my show This Show Sucks.
Yeah. Tommy Daslow is shit at comedy. Do your worst, critics.
But what does Ni No Kuni mean also?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I believe it's Japanese.
What?
Yeah. So the first game was produced in tandem with Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
Just full on, like, fantastic art style.
Heaps of animated cutscenes and stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of, like, in-engine cutscenes as well.
Yeah, okay.
And the engine, like, the actual game graphics looked amazing.
But yeah, that was one I always wanted to go in on and just never quite got the time to, but it always looked really great and fantastic and just, yeah, such a wonderful art style.
Totally. Very charming. The gameplay is totally different from that one to this one. The first one was Pokemon style.
Yeah.
Collect familiars and have turn-based battles.
Right.
So
this one, Ghibli aren't involved.
No.
Right.
No, but it looks the same.
Yeah.
Like, it looks better. Like, it looks beautiful.
Thanks for your art style, cunts.
Yeah. Basically. So this one is... same world, but like, you know, 100 years later or something. So it's only, it's tangentially connected.
Yep.
But the basic game is, well, it starts with this weird prologue where it's in like modern day Japan, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the president, or you're watching the president, and he's in
fucking
a motorcade.
Anybody can be president these days.
And then like a nuke blows up the city.
Huh.
So.
That's weird.
And then he's like lying on the ground and he's like, what's going on? And then he like...
This is crazy.
What? He like, you know, disapparates and appears, wakes up in like this, you know, fantasy world.
Right.
He's like, what the fuck's going on here? And he's woken up in a fantasy world in the middle of a coup.
Right.
And so this little kid with weird ears is like about to be made king. But then the evil rat advisor has done a coup. He's taken over, and the little kid Evan, great name, has to basically
great Japanese name.
Oh, totally. he has to like escape the castle with the help of this guy who's just appeared out of nowhere.
Right.
And so that's like the start. It's a classic.
I love that kind of stuff. The I talk about it all the time. But like the Link's Awakening, where you're just like. Wakes up on a beach on this island. Where the fuck am I? Like, that kind of stuff I love. Like,
yeah, totally. And so you do start the game, it seems, from the perspective of this president guy who's woken up here and he looks in the mirror, he's younger, like he's like, what is going on here? And you don't really have time to think about it because you have to, help this kid escape the castle.
Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads starts playing.
And the combat is just like real time. It's closer to something like Breath of the Wild.
Right.
But I think I mentioned in our chat, this feels like Persona mixed with Breath of the Wild.
Right.
So it's this kind of over-the-top JRPG story with just like real-time combat, very simple. You got like little moves you can activate, you know, by holding down a trigger and you know, square, triangle, circle, whatever.
Yep.
So like, you know, magic attacks or special attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of get out of the castle, you're out in the world and the little kid becomes the focus. He's the actual main character.
Right.
And he's like, well, I want to take back the kingdom and I want to make everyone happy again. That's literally his goal. Mm-hmm. He wants to make the kingdom happy. So you...
I lost track. You're describing Chimp Cop to us, yet?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. The death of this description was very apt, yeah. So it's a real classic sort of bash and smash RPG.
Mm-hmm. Like open world style thing?
Open world in that it's like a big overworld map that you right. walk around. So once you're walking around the world, it's more like one of the Final Fantasy games where everything's not to scale. You're a big guy. You're walking around and you can see monsters around. And when you go near those monsters, it goes into like... a little battle mode.
Right. Yep. So pretty traditional kind of thing. Like
pretty traditional, yeah.
Right.
And so far, the reason that I'm really into it is the art style, the music is right. fucking fantastic.
Right.
And it's really just charming and cute and simple.
Would you... So for someone who's never played either of them...
Sure.
Where would you recommend starting off? I know that's hard because they sound like pretty different games, but
yeah.
jump in on this one, or is it actually worth just starting on the first one?
Jump in on this one.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. The visuals are better because, you know, the technology behind it is better.
Yep.
It's the real-time gameplay is better. Mm-hmm. Like it's pretty easy, I'll say. It's quite easy.
Yep.
But because what I'm enjoying about it is moving through the world, the very simple, silly story.
Yeah.
Really reminds me of Final Fantasy VII in
right.
a way.
Yeah.
Just in the way you like dropped into this action sequence.
And you like that game, don't you?
I think it's all right. Yeah. But yeah, like you dropped in sort of in media res, learn all the combat,
mm-hmm.
world opens up, and you start finding the, you know, the greater depths to the game.
Great.
And is it just the sort of thing of like if you've played the first one, you're like, oh, I know what this place is.
No.
Right.
No, really no connection to the first one at
Interesting.
All.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as far as you're concerned, it's a bit more knee yes, Cooney.
The Nino. Death of Chimp Cop, you say.
Nino Cunny is my favourite anyway.
Wow. Nino likey.
Character comedian.
How did you manage to do one that was worse than mine? That was incredible. Yeah, that sounds really great. I've had to stop myself from going in on it. At the expense of a game that we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like with limited time, even having one big game on the go is too much. But
yeah.
I definitely am. Once the festival is done, I'm very much looking forward to it. And especially now, it's like we're about to head into the colder months, which I
yeah.
am a big fan of. You know, just bunkering down and
let
chucking
that
a game
PlayStation
on for a couple
4
of
heat up. And
yeah.
yeah.
Hear the fan just going at a billion miles an hour.
Yeah. So I'm only quite early into this game as well, I should say. Like,
mm-hmm.
there are mechanics that open up as it progresses. Apparently, there's like a kingdom building sort of
oh, right, okay.
mechanic to it, where you're like going around to different people, getting them on your side, and then I think using that to like literally do some city building stuff.
Right.
And kingdom management stuff. There's also quite early on a sequence where it's like some trials that are like puzzles. Like they're actually puzzle sort of sequences where it's like, and there were similar ones in Persona 5 where it's like you have to move around these squares and only go on these squares once and then
oh, right.
activate
yeah,
these
yeah,
levers
yeah.
and stuff. So, and it's a lot of memory, you know, based stuff. So, so far, like it's all been pretty simplistic and easy, but there's been a lot of variety and apparently it gets even more varied as it goes on. So
okay.
I'm looking forward to, yeah, getting more into this game, but I have stopped playing this game to get into...
Well, I have to say just very quickly about this one, but having not played either of them, just seeing screenshots and some video, the art style doesn't appeal to me for some reason.
You probably won't like the game then.
Yeah.
The art style really is emblematic of the game. It's kind of childlike and simple.
Yeah.
I personally love the style and the Ghibli, you know, films as well.
I think that's... I like the films. I've never massively been into the art style that they have. Just
right.
There's something... I couldn't like verbalize what it is. There's just something about it that is too.
Stop trying to sound cool by saying that you hate anime, dude. You've got the fedora on. We can see that in the room.
But it's not even that like it's not anime. It's this specific type of thing.
It is. It's very cutesy
yeah.
and whimsical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the colors as well. I think that's what it is. It's
right.
the sort of watercolor looking thing.
See, I love that
it
shit,
looks
man.
A little washed out to, and just like I can't. It's not tangible enough.
Right.
Does
See,
that
I find
make sense?
It, yeah, yeah, totally. I find it relaxing for that reason.
Yeah,
I think.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that I would be in the minority with this because people love that studio and that art style.
Yeah.
There's just something about it that's always been a little too... I think it's the fact that it looks very handcrafted or something. There's something that right. about that that makes it...
You're more of a Neon Genesis Evangelion fan, aren't you?
I want them thick Dragon Ball characters. I want to see muscles.
You're in the very difficult position of having to argue against like very bright, charming, yeah. colourful palette. You can't control what you like or don't like. I do not envy you being in the position yeah, of having to totally. It's argue not even against
that it's,
it.
That it's yeah. the bright aspect of it. It's that it's...
I hate the Disney of Japan. Like, that's not...
It's the patches of it that are brown and yellow and like...
See, I love that. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I'm with Ben.
Oh, and
yeah.
I totally get it's just a very personally not appealing thing.
Yeah, yeah. I do genuinely think if you don't find the art style appealing, I think that really does represent the tone of the game as a whole.
Yeah, the same thing about Persona 5, I would say, where sure, I fucking yeah. love the art style of that.
I mean, that's true of most games to a certain extent, but there's been things that I've kind of been pushed to go in on that I haven't really liked the art style of from the outside. Started playing it because I've heard enough good stuff about it and still been like, okay, this is great. I love playing this. I just wish it looked different to what it does.
Right.
But then there's some things where it's just like, I don't care how good it is. I just think that looks like shit and I don't want to look at that for hours on end.
I kind of think Gears of War looks like shit, but I like all those games.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
I think, there's, again, like in terms of your tastes, Nox, it feels a lot like Breath of the Wild in terms of the character design and also the voice acting and stuff.
Yeah.
There's more of it. I think it goes for it a little bit more than Breath of the Wild did.
Yeah.
But I could see how you would dislike it in the same way.
There's just something slightly off about it from Breath of the Wild where I want to give it a try still.
Yeah.
So.
It's
such a weird thing though, isn't it? Where like, it's so hard to put into art styles and, you know, I read like comics and cartoon shows and stuff like that where something that visually appeals to you and then something that doesn't and to someone else it's like, they look the same. Like what is it? And it's like, you can't put into words and it's, I don't know, it can be the most isolating feeling in the world to just be like, I can't articulate to someone what I'm not seeing. And then, you know, if you find someone who has that same taste as you, it's like the most amazing feeling in the world to just be like, yes, you get it. Like we're both seeing the same thing or not seeing the same thing. Like, I know a friend of the show, Angus Truscott, is a very aesthetic person.
Right.
To the point where he will not play a game because of the fonts that it uses.
Right. Yeah, right.
It certainly makes a big difference for me.
Totally.
Like, I love the fonts in Breath of the Wild. Mm. And Mario Odyssey, a game that I didn't fully connect with, I still love the presentation.
Yeah, totally.
It has a huge impact for me.
Well, his big one was Celeste. And I kind of agree with this, but it didn't really bother me too much. But like having a retro... style game that then still has like an overworld map that's like a 3D model and when the characters talk there's like a little kind of like illustrated like watercolor painting of them so the text is all kind of modern presentation but then the actual gameplay is retro but then you have something like Owlboy that's just like all in all in on the aesthetic and I kind of agree with him in that sense like I do think like it's so much more satisfying when something is just 100% all
in. It's so strange how when there's one little thing wrong, it can bother you more than there being 10 things wrong.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because you just go, okay, well, this is... I just have to push past all of this, whereas one thing is like, God, just fucking do it right. It's so close to being perfect for me.
Yeah, I do think that Ni No Kuni 2's aesthetic is 100%... cohesive. Like the music is fantastic.
Mm.
I really, really like the music. I often turn, you know, the sound down on games to do a million things at the same time. But this...
surely two.
What other things are you doing while you're playing a game, given that both your hands are taken up?
What 999,000 things are you capable of doing with just your sense of hearing?
Oh, well, no, it's more than that. Sometimes I'll play a game, listen to a podcast, and watch a sporting match at the same time. So that's three.
How effectively
are
you?
I'll be thinking about something else.
I've got a butt plug in, so I'm being stimulated.
That's it. I'm eating lunch.
And the how?
Well, no, presumably he's just got a bowl on the table, so he's got the control and he's just like sitting forward and just eating straight out of the bowl.
What it is one long piece of spaghetti, like one really long piece of spaghetti.
So it's dangling from the roof and you're just like through a pulley system.
That's it. But good game so far. Could get better as it goes on.
Now let's move away from these childish cartoons and talk about something that real cool adults like, which is dumb fucking looking guns.
Yes.
And the same art style that every Ubisoft game has, essentially.
Yeah.
But this game looks sick. Now, I have not had time to play Far Cry 5, which is probably the big release of the last week or so.
Yes.
You guys both have played it.
Yeah. I have put maybe probably 2 to 3 hours in at this point. Which means that by any normal player's standards, I think I'm about 8 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
I am. So I've never played I've never played one of the Far Cry games.
You played a bit of Primal.
I played a bit of Primal. Yes. But that almost feels like it kind of doesn't
It's kind of set.
I forget that it exists. Yeah.
It's set in a place called Hope County.
Yeah, Montana.
That has been taken over by a religious cult. And so the intro of it is, I think, fantastic.
Yeah, I really like it.
Really now, well done.
I haven't played the game yet, and I'm assuming a lot of people have, and it sounds like it's a bit of a surprise and whatever. Can we skip any sort of spoiler things for things? I haven't
We can skip maybe the specifics of the intro, because generalities are like, you get dropped into this situation to try and fix it, and everything goes fucked.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're a cop who's stranded in here, and you've basically got to go around and liberate these people that have been basically essentially held hostage or coerced into. This cult is kind of going around and like basically going, you have to join us or we'll fucking torture you or whatever they're doing.
Totally. And for Nox's context, it's very similar to 3 and 4 in that overall structure. 3 was Vaas had, a militant, group of people on an island. And they were just in control of everything.
Yeah.
And 4, it was literally a dictator of a small Himalayan, country. And it was rebels struggling against his basically standing army. And Far Cry 5 basically has the same structure. There's an oppressive force in a small, or actually fucking huge, but, restricted area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your job to free the civilians and take down the big bad guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that
now, that has ruined the game for me. You've spoiled it too much.
All right. Okay.
I didn't know I'd be having to fight bad guys in this game.
So the kind of like slow walk introduction segment of the game is, I think, done really, really well. One of the most effective and still entertaining, because we talk about this on the show a lot, but like the worst kind of it is just like you being forced to like chug through this very exposition-heavy, kind of boring section of the game when you just want to get into it.
Yeah.
This does prohibit you, but it doesn't go for a super long time. And while you're doing that, it is, without giving anything away, really entertaining and really...
It's well-directed.
Atmospheric.
Yeah.
And great. Like, it doesn't feel like a chore or a burden. You're not going, yeah. Like, you're really into it.
Totally.
It sort of sounds like the start of maybe, like, Half-Life or Call of Duty 4 or something, where it's, like, a sequence that you're looking around in, but it's a cool sequence.
Call of Duty 4 is a great comparison.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't really play it. Really, the only first person shooter I've played in a very, very long time is Doom.
Yep.
The reboot of Doom. And so I've been struggling with this a lot, mainly because, being used to playing Doom where it's just very bombastic and the range of your weapons, the enemies are all really big and it's just basically about you just blasting away, and you don't really need to have that much precision in Doom.
Totally.
Whereas immediately in this, it's like you do need to have a lot. You need to have a lot of precision, and that really was throwing me off to begin with. I was just not able to land shots.
Right.
Very simple goals in Doom as well.
Yeah.
Clear out this area of these enemies, and Far Cry 5, if it's anything like the others, which it does appear to be.
Yep.
Is very kitchen sinky with its approach to what you will be doing. Just like every single possible shooter thing that there's been for the last decade plus.
Yeah. So there's a bit in the introduction, the last bit of the introduction for anyone who's played it, that took me maybe 12 to 15 goes.
Right.
Just dying constantly. I was like, what am I doing wrong?
I think I know the bit you mean, and it was, it's weirdly timed.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That is weird. That's not just you.
Okay.
I was getting the same warnings, but I was like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. 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 So then got into the actual guts of the game, and I'm getting better, but it's a pretty steep learning curve for me coming from having not played any of these games.
Oh, sure.
These styles of games. And I have to say, like, I'm so not a fan of pushing the stick in order to run.
Right.
Maybe it's something about the size of my hands or whatever, but it just feels so unnatural to me. I way prefer holding a button to run.
Right. Yeah, right. See, everything about the gameplay of this is completely second nature to me.
Right.
It's same.
Yeah.
I've hated that in every game that has it. The pushing, it just feels like, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of jamming my thumb in this really unnatural, I don't know. Yeah.
But you just tap it in once to sprint, right?
Yeah.
Are you holding it in?
I'm holding it in.
You don't need to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
My God.
This is going to change everything.
Why do I do this podcast?
I hated how when you wash your hands, you have to keep the tap held, wash one hand at a time slowly.
Well, you just saying this is wildly off topic, but my ex-housemate, Tom Ballard, we'd lived in the house for about 8 months. And him and I both, our rooms were next to each other and our windows looked onto the street. And he said to me one day, hey, did you know you can see in our windows from on the street? I'm like, yeah, they're windows. It's like, right. I only just realized. I'm like, what do you mean you only just, what?
What did you think all those times you were seeing the street?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's probably a mirror on the other side. No need to go out and check.
That's a fucking weird painting anyway.
Anyway, congratulations on all your success, Ballard.
And then that was followed up in the same week. He then said, how long did it take you to realize that the hot tap and the cold tap in the bathroom are like the other way around? And I'm like, I think the first time I turned the cold one on and it was hot. And he goes, I just realized that. And I said, we've been living here for like 6 months. And he just pauses and then looks at me and goes, I think living with you is actively making me dumber. Like, yeah, oh yeah, it's my fault that you can't feel fucking sensations on your skin. Anyway.
Just tap that stick in the future.
Okay, yeah. Great. Well, this has changed
just
everything.
Just stick that tap in.
But it's one of those things where, yeah, we are like, that's fucking years and years of taking that for granted. But
yeah.
It is. It's the Call of Duty games. It's Far Cry. Yeah. It's Halo. It's all of them.
It's Halo now. Halo didn't used to do that one.
Right.
You didn't used to sprint in them. But yeah, it's a fucking lot of games that have done that, and it's second nature now. But I can see how you. But yeah, just tap it in and you'll sprint until you stop moving.
Yeah.
So it looks amazing.
It's
the setting is great.
Yeah.
The environment is just like great. Small town, bit of bush here and there.
Ooh,
not
yeah.
bush, but you know,
forest. Forest.
Alpine forest. Yeah.
So you, when you liberate people, you get the option of employing them to like work with you.
Yes.
I saved a dog.
Oh, that is a fantastic bit of the game. Let's not go into specifics, but that section or that, you know, that set piece, it's fucking great. Really well done.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking to someone about this last night, and I think maybe I've liberated a different dog or I've missed the set piece.
Right.
I don't know. Right. We can talk about it off air. Maybe I'm in a different bit.
Maybe,
but when you Liberace a dog, you just enjoys a nice bit of piano.
I play piano
for my dog sometimes off of my phone
because
she fucking loves it.
Yeah, nice.
Like specifically on YouTube, you get like piano for dogs.
That's great.
There's just noises for dogs you can get. And like I don't know why it is that dogs have this universal thing about, I mean, I guess we do too. With
what
music,
an image. Knox squatting down, holding out
squat.
The phone,
yes,
a YouTube
you
piano
I'm
clip.
I'm sitting on the couch with her. You're like, oh, she's a bit tired. But if people are around, she won't go to sleep because she's too excited.
Right.
But if you play something sleepy for her, she will.
Wait, is why you haven't had time to play Far Cry? You're sitting there spinning all your time showing piano videos to your fucking dog.
Trying to make dogs sleep.
I thought you
instead of playing sleeping dogs up
hell yeah,
dog nice. I thought you meant literally playing the piano to the dog, which is much nicer.
I do that sometimes as well, but there's specific dog ones that I've not bothered to learn. That,
yeah, right.
That made for dogs. And then
is
like,
it a lot of Beethoven?
No, oh shit!
Should I just hit stop record? Is that
yeah? We're done.
And hit delete as well while you're at it. Yeah, so anyway, I liberated a
Air
dog.
Airbug guitar, anyway.
I got a little... So you can have a little dog as your... As
one of your
helper.
Little mates, yes.
Yeah, so he'll go and attack people when you're in shootouts with them.
Similar to Fallout 4.
Yeah, so I've seen a couple of bits and pieces about this particular mechanic.
Yeah.
That the companions that you get are a little overzealous with their level of aggression.
Hey, the dog, it's funny because I sort of thought in some things where you have something like this, it's like, like in Breath of the Wild, you can get, with an amiibo, you can get Wolf Link from Twilight Princess to right. kind of follow you around. And he will run after people and attack them, but you still have to do the majority of the work to take them out. He right. just kind of softens them up or distracts them. The dog in this, like, literally kills people for you, like, yeah. immediately.
Yeah.
But so if you're trying to, like, stealth around a camp or whatever...
He stealths as well.
Oh, okay.
It's the same as Fallout 4. When you go into stealth mode, the dog would as well. It is the same in this.
Yeah. I never really liked using the companions in Fallout 4 either. There's something about having... If they fuck up once, I'm done with them.
Right.
The same as in a game or in real life.
Yeah.
Somebody wrongs me once, then I will wreck their life. That's not true.
Well, so
I'm a very forgiving person.
I didn't really know exactly how the mechanic worked. So I had the dog. I did this little bit in one area and then I went, okay, I'm going to get in a car and drive to this bit.
Yes.
So I spent a great deal of time going, okay, I have to like get the dog into the car with me.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to like... I'm like, do I have to like leave the door open and like trying to command him to get in?
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe I can get him to, like, it was a pickup truck I was in. I'm like, maybe I can get him to get in the tray on the back. And I just couldn't work out how to do it. And I'm like, oh, that's a shame. I guess I just have to leave the dog. So I get in the pickup truck and then I drive and I'm driving for like maybe 5 minutes. And then I get spotted by some cult guys who start shooting at me. And I'm kind of trying to outrun them and then I'm just getting hit too much.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I have to get out of the car and go hide in the woods to avoid them and take them out behind the car.
Yeah.
I get out of the car and within 3 seconds, the dog's just there.
Yeah, right. The dog's
this dog was able to run down the freeway at about 100 kilometers an hour.
The dog straps himself under the car like Sideshow Bob.
Yes. Yes.
This fucking rocket dog just barreling alongside me. So, yeah, a very great video game thing where all the rest of it is striving for realism.
Yeah.
But we will have this dog that is able to travel at the speed of sound if he needs to.
Yes. Well, let's take it back a little bit because I'm sure people are listening to this who haven't played it yet and are maybe, you know, going to judge whether or not they're going to buy it on what we think of the game and what the game is like. So, starts off, yeah, with a great cold open.
Mm-hmm.
You're introduced to... the cult leaders. The cult leader is called Joseph Seed. He has a brother who's kind of like a motivational speaker, another brother who's kind of like a big, you know, warrior guy, and a sister, or it's implied she's not literally related, but she's there, called, I think, Grace, who kind of has...
Faith, isn't it?
Faith, maybe, yeah. It's one of some religious name.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has
Jesus.
God.
Mary Magdalene. But and yeah, she... So each of the siblings has their own district of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the main guy is, I don't know, he's at the end somewhere.
So you meet the main guy in the cold open. He looks into the camera and says, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
He says, I am the Revenant.
And
from there, you're basically... thrown into the thick of it, have to escape. You basically have, you know, a gun and nothing else.
Yep.
And you run into someone who is...
This is very similar to the start of 3 and 4, I think.
Yep.
4 is a little bit, but 3...
Yep. It is structurally almost identical.
Worth pointing out as well that even though it's called Far Cry 5, no relation to the other games, you could just jump in on this one.
Totally.
Yeah,
completely
no fine. Connection.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that bandied around as a criticism that it's too similar, which doesn't affect me in any way, shape or form because I've never played any of the other ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. Who cares? Like, it's just... it's been a while since the last one. People want a new one with a fresh setting.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for the approach of just not fucking with the formula. People just want to play another one. That's fine. Like, I don't really know why that's a criticism. Like, if you,
I mean, it's all down to your personal preference.
Totally, yeah. Like, so if you've had enough of it, well, then you already know you're not going to play it, so it doesn't really matter.
Like, sure. And from my perspective, as someone who really has liked every game in this series, from the first one, the second one, which was slightly different again, and then 3, 4, and 5, which are basically identical structurally and gameplay-wise, I'm fucking loving it.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot stop playing it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I've eaten 10 cheeseburgers.
They're still good, baby.
And I'm not like, oh, this is a lot like the fourth cheeseburger.
But you know what? This fifth cheeseburger, it's actually slightly better than the fourth cheeseburger.
They put some onion on it this time.
That's right.
Maybe not onion.
No, I like onion. It's all, you know, it's organically sourced this time.
Oh.
Yeah, it's some Wagyu beef, baby.
Oh, nice. But yeah, I really am enjoying it. Like, it's been, you know, it's shares a lot of DNA with something like GTA, and
absolutely,
just realizing
it does,
it's been a long time since I've played it. Open world thing where you're setting a marker on the map and then heading towards that to go do whatever's there. Like, I'm really into it. Like, I want to get better at it.
Yeah.
So a change for this one is that the towers are gone.
Towers are gone.
So you're just exploring, again, Fallout 4 style of walking around and coming across what you come across.
Totally. You talk to people who are like, hey, there's this thing down at the docks. Check it out. There's also all these, they're called prepper stashes. So doomsday preppers have obviously lived in the area.
Not grade prep. Not,
no.
Not young children's stashes.
Certainly not. And they're basically, they're sort of like a very small micro version of either a shrine in Breath of the Wild or a tomb in the Tomb Raider games.
Right.
So there's always a little trick to them. One of them's like a burnt out house that's still kind of on fire. And so to get to the stash, you got to, you know, platform around the house, find how to get there, kick down some walls. And when you find the stash, it's usually money, which you need to buy weapons and ammunition, and these little like prepper magazines, which are basically experience points.
Right.
And the way you upgrade your perks and your character is through these points, which you get either, from just this or from doing story missions. So it takes, and it also takes away crafting, hunting, and that kind of stuff.
Oh, they're not in it anymore.
They're not in it.
Oh, I quite enjoyed them.
I did as well.
You do a little bit of crafting, don't you? Don't you like make Molotov cocktails?
Yes, but
the med kits.
You used to have to collect 8, you know, deer skins to craft a second holster
or wallets or whatever it was.
Yeah.
To upgrade the amount of ammo you could carry, you'd had to hunt 5 tigers for some fucking reason or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was fun to hunt the animals in the wilderness.
It was, and you still hunt the animals, but you just sell the skins for money.
Right.
Right. So there's no like hunting sort of side quest type thing.
I don't think so.
No,
not
that's
so
a bit
far.
Of a shame. But at the same time, whatever. I'm sure.
And they really have streamlined all the upgrades, because like, you do unlock a second holster, but you do it through one of these perk points.
Right.
And so, yeah, you're getting those by doing these little mini puzzles.
Does that turn the animal encounters, though, into being just sort of more annoying than... Because if you did get attacked by a fucking honey badger or whatever, you'd be like, well, at least I can skin this honey badger and then get further towards my whatever I'm making.
Yes, it is less imperative to the gameplay. It is more just like, fuck, there's a bear, I guess I gotta kill the bear or run away.
It seems weird to complain about like, oh fuck, there's a bear being in a game.
yeah
but that little bit being gone sounds, again, having not played it yet, sounds maybe, oh, I might miss that.
I think it makes them more natural.
Yeah.
Like, I don't miss it, and I really did also love the hunting and the crafting in those games.
Again, having nothing to compare it to, like a bear attacked me and I was like, fuck. Shot the shit out of it and then was like, this is cool.
I'm the Revenant.
Yeah.
yeah. But I do think it's streamlined the stuff that has to be streamlined. It's made the gameplay, sort of like the character upgrades, better.
Okay.
And it's turned that kind of emergent gameplay stuff back into like just actually cool shit that happens in the game.
Okay, for the sake of fun.
Yeah, sure. Yes, exactly.
I don't mind fun.
I'm loving it, I gotta say. But like visually, it's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of country music in terms of like diegetic music. So it's like playing in the house. And then it also seems to like ramp up when stuff is happening.
Okay.
Like you finish a mission and then there's like a fucking sick pumping song playing.
Yeah.
I think it's done really, really well.
I'm finding the driving a little difficult coming in from that first person perspective, coming from something like getting in a car and expecting it to feel like GTA.
Yeah.
Like, steering, but then also being able to look around in the car kind of keeps throwing me off a little bit. But it's still fine.
Yeah.
It's,
the thing of, correct me if I'm wrong, but in Far Cry 4, you just push the stick forward to drive, right?
No, it is like, no, it's, you know, trigger. It's trigger. Yeah. It does have the thing as well, though. I think it's when you're... If there's a gun attached to the car, you can control the gun and the car will automatically drive down right. the road.
I remember the driving always being a little weird in 4.
It is a little weird. It's a little weird. I would prefer if it was a third person game, but then it would basically be Red Dead Redemption.
Sure.
Which that's great.
I kind of keep feeling that way too. Like, yeah, it's weird in the sense that, to me, yeah, it feels weird that it's a first person shooter because everything that you're doing kind of feels like this is so suited to being third person. Like,
you can customize the clothes your character wears, how they look, and you never see it except for when you die.
Exactly, that's really weird.
I guess that's for co-op, though.
Sure, it is.
Because there's lots of multiplayer stuff in this, right?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of... You can just turn on co-op when you start your single-player game and your friends can drop in whenever they want. There's fucking a whole other section of the game that I've only dipped my toe in, which is called Far Cry Arcade, which I'm fucking loving.
This is the crazy like map editor where you can put in whatever you want. Like they announced about a month ago,
and they ship from
assets from everything.
Yes. Assassin's Creed and whatever is in there.
Yeah,
which is a sick move.
Yeah. So before I talk about that, I guess I'll talk about the story a little bit because
tell us about the first time you ever made love.
I'll tell you when it happens. I've had a lot of sex, but I never made love.
Sick.
This is me being fucking like New York 50 Cent, but in the 40s, and he's whatever, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
I'm 50 Dangerfield Cent. Take my bitch, please.
Nice.
So the story has... Yeah, the story has attracted a lot of criticism I've seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
People,
I've seen people complain that it's a little more watered down than they would like.
What it is...
In terms of its commentary on the modern world.
What it is...
Oh, a great disclaimer when you boot the game up. Like, hey, you know, this isn't based on anything real. It's like you get this big warning about epilepsy and how the flashing screen might trigger you, and then you get this big... thing that the lawyers have clearly insisted they put in of we're not talking about anyways.
The flashing politics might trigger you.
Well, what the game is quite purposefully apolitical.
Right.
And I like that about it.
Yeah.
What I think its strengths are, apart from the gameplay, which is incredible, best of the franchise, so much fun, probably the most enjoyable first-person shooter I've played on a mechanical level. And, you know, the atmosphere is great in terms of, you know, the nature, the scenery, all that stuff's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also loving the atmosphere that the aesthetic of the cult gives the game.
Yeah.
It's this hyper-religious but sort of non-specific cult that's all about, you know, preaching redemption and hope and yes and... you know, following the father, who's clearly a fucking, like, you know, he's what's his name?
John Edwards?
No, Jim Jones. Jim Jones.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, a very charismatic guy who has a fucking power trip and he's controlling all these people and they've bought into it.
It's interesting, like, playing this at the same time as I'm halfway through the Netflix documentary Wild Wild Country, which is about a cult.
Yeah.
And so... I'm obsessed with cult stuff. Like, I love it. And it's always interesting, you know, kind of consuming media about cults whilst in the middle of performing in the comedy festival where there are many, many parallels.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And so I think there's a lot of parallels between this game and Bioshock Infinite in they both feature an antagonist who is abusing, you know, the tenets of a religion to create a cult of personality.
And it's this, it's like general religion, general America, just sort of broad strokes thing.
Totally, right. Totally. And it doesn't even lean too much on the, like, America's great and that's why this cult is great and that's why Christianity's great. It's just like, this guy and his family are all fucked and they've managed to convince a bunch of people to get on board.
Okay, right. I think I'm also all right with it because the criticisms I've seen are like, it pulls its punches and it holds back on having a commentary. But at that point, you're asking it to be something that it isn't, which I don't think is a fair criticism.
And what it is great. It's very effective. It's, like I said, the atmosphere and the aesthetic is really strong and it really has drawn me into the story.
I don't really care that it's not making a comment or
if anything, it's kind of nice to have some escapist fucking media.
Yes,
exactly.
In a world where, you know, maybe the stuff about the real world that you're looking at is unpleasant.
I'm absolutely on that
page. Especially when the game is all about fucking shooting your guns at people.
Yeah.
It would be very fucking rich of this game of all games to be like, fuck the whoever.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know. It can't do that. I don't think it can or should do that. It shouldn't be a commentary on gun violence or religion or politics. Yeah. It's probably not going to handle that well.
Yeah.
If it says, fuck Trump, shoot this person, then that game is a mess.
It's hypocritical. Yeah. Like, you can't do that. So what it does is just completely avoid any political commentary at all. And I really like that about
it. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's not... I don't know who the people that are expecting it. Like, it's not Colbert. Like, why is there suddenly this obligation for it to...
Well, that's what... I think people feel that there is an obligation because it's set in rural America.
Well, and it maybe it's
in
marketing...
this current climate. But also, you've got to look at it as, like, it's, you know... Games stick around for, you know what I mean? Who knows what's going to happen in the future? Like, you can't make this thing that is just tethered to 2018 forever because people are going to play it in, you know, maybe 4 years down the line when, you know, who knows? Things might be completely different.
If you go and watch Not the 9 o'clock News these days, some sketches are like, yeah, that's funny, man. That is a good classic sketch. And then the next sketch is like, Thatcher's sucks. Like, oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she did. I don't know.
Yeah. But I really like it. Yeah, like I said, it's a lot of parallels to Bioshock Infinite.
She did, by the way. I'm pretty sure she did.
She was no good. She has not aged well in terms of her reputation. But I like what it does in a narrative sense because it's like what I said. It's the combination of religion, the worst aspects of religion, or the aspects of religion that can be manipulated,
or human behavior and grouping.
Well, exactly. It's abusing a community and a community feel for selfish gain. And that's totally what this game is. It's what the story is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it well. I like the voice acting a lot. The main antagonist, I think, is he actually is charismatic. Like, there's something about him it fucking works. And you're just kind of like the blank slate rookie deputy sheriff going in there and trying to take care of business.
The guy who's communicating with you through it is really good as well.
Totally.
The interface of it's really good. I just noticed it as I was playing, like, there's a lot going on the screen in terms of, like, what it's telling you. But it's kind of all very small and kind of, like, pushed out of the... Sometimes these games, the screen that you're looking at is like, there's so much crap on there.
Yeah.
Or is this just very effective and minimal? Maybe all these games have done that, but I've been impressed by...
Well,
it is that... Especially these games where you start off early and you're first let loose in the world and you're just constantly getting notifications because everything you're walking past, it has to tell you, hey, if you want, you can hunt deer and get money for it.
Yeah.
You can do this in a car. It's like just bombarding you with like
Xenoblade Chronicles 2 had a lot of that.
Yes. Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Totally.
And that made me stop playing that game after 2 hours because it was just a lot to take in. I was like, all right, I'll come back to this. Then remembered how much shit I'd learned in quotes in that first bit and went, I've forgotten it, so see you later.
Yeah.
So it does that pretty elegantly. Also, what I fucking love is that you can go into the options, go to interface, you can turn literally everything off.
Wow. Yeah.
But you can also turn things back on one by one.
Yeah.
So what I turned everything off, and as I was playing the game, I was like, oh, wait, I actually need
the
button notification to, you know, interact with stuff.
Yeah.
I need the crosshair. I need the compass. And that's about it. Otherwise, you basically go into the map, you go, oh, yeah, cool, I'm going to go here. Set your waypoint and then off you go. And there's basically no HUD that's intrusive at all.
I assume this is a mainstay of the series, but this has been slightly pissing me off that any action button, like you have to hold it down, like you have the timer thing.
That came in about 5 years ago, and it's in every fucking game now.
It's in Destiny. It's in every fucking game.
It's so annoying, especially when it's just like picking up. And I like, oh, whoops, I'd hate to accidentally
Halo
pick up some
bunch.
Ammo.
Right.
Like,
so you can have the button, be two things, but it's...
Yeah, it's to stop you accidentally doing something that you didn't want to do.
Is it reload and action still in this one? Like, it's the... Yeah, so
same button,
you tap it to reload and you hold it to do whatever action.
Sure, but once...
It is annoying.
There's certain things where...
It's just that... And it's literally half a second or whatever it is, but it is annoying. It just feels sluggish.
Like it's especially when you're like, you've cleared out a room and you're just going around looting and getting all the stuff that you can get. It's like,
totally.
I just like that feeling in those games when it's just a tap of just going in and like boom, 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 boom. Like I'm really quickly getting all this stuff,
yeah,
getting out before more people come and find me. The fact that it has to take that little bit of time, you kind of lose that sensation, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah. I think the comparison you made earlier to a Grand Theft Auto game in general is it's spot on.
Yeah.
It's like this whole game is set in like the mountainous region of GTA 5.
Yeah.
And then times that like actual physical size by about 7. Like it's a really big map and it's not big in a daunting way. It's just like, I'm loving exploring this and I'm only in one region.
Sick.
You basically go into a region, one of the siblings is in charge, and as you progress through various story missions and stuff like that, you trigger these cutscenes and set pieces. And so it's not like you literally like driving to one place and going like, all right, here's mission number 3. It's like you do a bunch of general missions and then, the story kind of kicks in and drags you into it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm
I think a bit of that happened in 4 possibly a couple of times.
Sort of. But yeah, I'm still quite early on and I'm loving it. And we haven't spoken about Arcade yet, which maybe we should touch on next week.
Well, because I'm going to give this a run by next week and the Arcade mode seems fucking great as well. Mario Maker, but Far Cry.
Exactly. Yeah. And better. And done better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because we have to wrap up now.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this for a couple of weeks. And yeah, we'll all have time to have dipped in on the... I haven't touched the Arcade mode yet, so we'll play a bit of that and be able to come back and give some more thoughts on it.
Totally.
Some time to go for Sea of Thieves as well. So next week should be fun.
So thanks for listening, guys. If you're on the Facebook and everything, let us know if you've been playing this, what you're thinking of it.
Totally.
I'd
throw some of your favorite arcade maps at me because I'm getting into them.
Oh, great.
They're really fun, yeah.
And so we'll talk about that next week completely, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to our socials, our Patreon if you want to support the show, our premium episodes that are up on Bandcamp. Come check us out at the Comedy Festival.
Ooh, yeah.
I'd love to see you guys there. Thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
It's still loading.
He's holding his phone up to the microphone.
All the dogs have gone to sleep now.
Yeah, my tail's wagging.
Dogs definitely have enough patience to have waited for that ride.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.